Right, well, your Bible's open this morning to the book of Psalm, chapter 123 in the Word of God this morning. Psalm 123, and we're going to read the entire Psalm. It's not that lengthy, and just four little verses. We'll read that, and Lord willing, we'll try to bring the message God's laid on our heart for the morning hour this morning, okay? Psalm 123. I guess I do have this thing on, don't I, Brother Robert? Okay. Psalm 123 and verse number 1. The psalmist said, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hands of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that. Let's go to Him in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the Sunday school hour this morning. Thank you for the good Word of God that our hearts enjoyed. I thank you, Lord, for the song service and the worship hour, the privilege we have to lift up our voice to Thee, and thanking You, Lord, for the blessings of life, giving Your life a ransom for our sin upon Calvary. Thank You for those that are here today and our visitors. As well, I pray that You will make this a precious time for us all. May we be able, Lord, to worship You and to glorify Your wonderful name. I do pray You'll bless Your people with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Meet those that have needs in their heart, sickness, disease, affliction, whatever it might be. I pray, Lord, for that old-fashioned unction and anointing that comes from the Spirit of God this morning to preach Your Word. May Your power and presence be felt and experienced in this place today, changing the lives of people, sinners being saved, and Your people being helped and blessed. I pray for a spirit of conviction upon the service, the power of God to rest upon it. Do great things, Lord, even those things that we know not of. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that is accomplished, because You're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. All right, for those of you that have been here most of the services, some of you have not, but most of you have been here for the last several weeks, and we've been preaching out of these psalms that are called the Song or a Psalm of Degree. And this is another one of those psalms of degrees. And the psalmist said there, "And I lift up," and it lifts us up, "yet to higher ground." You know, we sing that old song, "I'm pressing on the upward way." And I think we'd all want to get on that higher ground. I don't know about you, but I'm looking to get just a little bit higher with the Lord. And this Psalm of Degrees carries us a little bit higher in that respect. If you've been here, you know in the first Psalm we saw ourselves in great distress. In fact, Psalm 120 said, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord." And it was there because of our own troublesome surroundings. And then we lifted up our eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh our help, the Bible said. And it was there that we rested in assured security. You know, I'm glad that I have assurance this morning. Amen. There are so many people, I believe, that truly are saved, but they've never come to a full assurance in their own heart. And a lot of people believe you can fall from grace. And I've read after a lot of men that believe that. And John Wesley believed that. Others believe that. Some of them, I believe, were saved. Some of them I don't know about. But at any rate, I'm glad that we can have a full assurance of our faith. And by the way, those that Jesus does save, He does keep. All that He has saved, out of all that the Father has given me, He said, I have lost none. And hadn't lost any then, and He's not going to lose any now. And so we lifted up our eyes under those hills, and we rested in that assured security. But in our next plateau in this psalm, we rose to depleting ourselves in the house, or delighting ourselves rather, in the house of God. David said that he was glad when they said unto him, "Let us go unto the house of the Lord." And we certainly ought to be glad we're here today. I am. I don't know about you. I wonder about some folk, but I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm able to be in God's house in this morning hour. But you know, here in Psalm 123, we look to the Lord Himself. The psalmist is looking to the Lord Himself. He said, "Unto Thee lift I up mine eyes." He looks directly into the face of His Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. His eyes are now looking above the hills. He had looked at the hills, but He's now looking above the hills and above Jehovah's footstool here on earth. And He's looking to God's throne in heaven itself. And you know, the Bible is true, and I think we ought to set our affection on things above. And as Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and sitting on that throne, I think it would do us well this morning to lift up our eyes as well and get our eyes off of the world, off of this life, and set our affection on things above and seek the Lord who is above all. And by the way, He is on His throne in glory today. He definitely is. There's no doubt about that. And the psalmist here, he looks up. He looks up to the Lord, and he looks up with a steadfast hope. He said, "Unto Thee lift I up mine eyes." Now, folks, he didn't look up just for the sake of looking up. He looked up with expectation of heart. He looked up with great hope that the Lord would bless him in the way that he would delighted him. And so he's steadfast in that. He's not wish-washy. He's not double-minded. And by the way, if you look at that word lift, it does not say he lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes. If you were to look in Luke 16 at that rich man, the Bible said, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. That word lift carries with it the idea of a constant gaze. It's not just looking up and then looking down, looking to this side or that side. That rich man in hell lift up his eyes. And by the way, his eyes are still lifted up. That's right. And still looking up. And so the psalmist here is that steadfast in his hope. His eyes, he's lifted up his eyes unto the Lord who is sitting on His throne of glory. Now, his hope is in the one who is enthroned in glorious majesty. I'm glad I can say that this morning. The Bible said, "Unto Thee lift I up mine eyes, O Thou that dwellest in the heavens." And as he lifted up his eyes, he did not see a defeated Lord. I'm glad, thank God, that our Lord is not defeated. The devil thought he had him when he died on the cross. But I'm going to tell you, he thought he had him when he went to the tomb. He's got up out of the grave and is victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he is enthroned today in glorious majesty in the heavens. Now, I'm telling you, if we could ever get our heart and our hope steadfast on the Lord, that He is the triumphant one and the altogether lovely one, the glorious one, and keep our eyes on Him rather than letting our heart and our mind and our hope drift from this position to that. One day we're on the mountaintop and the next day we're in the valley below. May God help us to fix our eyes in a steadfast hope, looking unto the one that loved us and died for us up on Calvary's tree. And by the way, He is enthroned in glorious majesty. Now, you know, I want to say this morning. He is enthroned in glorious majesty. Number one thing we need to understand, He is not going to give His glory to another. He is not going to share that glory with anyone else. Now, I'm going to be in the book of Revelation for just a little while here. If you want to turn there, it's up to you in chapter number 4. I'm going to read some verses there. I said this, He will not give His glory to another. Now, notice in the book of Revelation 4, in verse number 1, the Bible said, after this, that is John talking, he said, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And he said, and immediately I was in the Spirit. What was the first thing that he saw when he was in the Spirit? He said, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. Now, here's what I'm going to get across. The Bible said, and one sat on the throne. I said he will not give his glory to another. You've got to understand it was not the angels that were enthroned in that glory. The angels wasn't on that throne. It was not one of the prophets that was on that throne. It was not some preacher that was on that throne. But it was God Almighty, amen, that was on that throne. And he will not share that glory with another. And he will not be dethroned. The devil had the idea way back in the book of Ezekiel that he could dethrone the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what. He found out right quick that God is more than a match for the devil. They'd do Baptists well if they had learned that also. That the God we serve is more than a match for the devil. I mean, at his word, ladies and gentlemen. At his word, he spoke everything into existence that we see. At the word of his power, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess.
Right.
At his power, the devil someday will be cast into a lake of fire.
Right.
At his power, the false prophet and the beast will be cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. There is power in the word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, if we'd ever get a hold of that this morning, it caused us to do a double back flip in the house of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He's not going to share the glory of that throne with anybody else. That glory belongs to him. He's earned it. He's worthy of it. He's earned it. He is the one that condescended from heaven, that left that glorious estate and was made in the form of a servant and died that way, like a man dies, that he might taste death for every man and be touched with the infirmities of all men, and that he might save all that would come unto God by him. And he arose out of the grave, went back to that throne. And I'm saying he's there today. He is there on that throne today. He will not share that glory with another. Now notice this also about this glorious throne. His glory and kingdom are eternal. As we read on down, the Bible said in verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. That rainbow was round about the throne. If it rains some days today and the sun is shining just right, why, you look out at the rainbow and we count the colors. Aren't they so beautiful?
Yeah.
They are. And I've always been told there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. But I've never found the end of that thing yet. I don't know anybody has. But I'm glad that the rainbow here in the book of Revelation, it never had an end. You don't have to worry about a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. There is one that's more than fine gold that is enthroned by that rainbow. That rainbow is round about him. That signifies his eternality and his Godhead. There never was one before him. Never shall be another after him. He is God. Therefore, he said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, and know that I am God. For beside me there is none else, and there's not. There's no other God but one God. That God is on that throne, and he is the altogether lovely one, glorious one, sitting on that throne today. And the psalmist said, I'm going to lift up my eyes to the one that is enthroned in glorious majesty this morning, that he I'm going to set my hope in to bless me and help me through the life and the troubles that I'm now living in. And he'll do it. Amen. That's right. Then I want to say also that those that worship at that throne, they must be holy. Drop this there just a little bit, Brother Gray. I'll see some droopy eyes. Now, those that worship at this throne, they must be holy. Let's continue to read. He said in verse 4, and round about the throne was 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting. They were sitting in ragged clothes. Don't say that. My Bible tells me they were sitting in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. That white raiment is referring to their holiness, their consecration. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to worship God with sin in our lives. We're not going to. If we're, hey, this picture, by the way, is already in heaven. And hey, and they are holy. They're clothed in white raiment. By the way, the white raiment and the white robe are a type of God's righteousness imputed unto you and I. So I said, what do you mean imputed? I'm just saying God said you're righteous. And He made us right. We're not righteous on our own. God help somebody that thinks that they can work their way and or in by their works can become righteous. Hey, you, and by the way, you don't become righteous to do God's work. You are made righteous in order that you're privileged to do God's work. Hey, we're privileged to be a servant of God, and we're made a servant of God by the righteousness of God, having no righteousness of our own. But I'm glad, thank God, He has imputed that righteousness. And hey, and we're just as holy and righteous. Somebody's going to get offended at this. But we're just as holy and righteous as God is, because we're made in the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, there is no sin in this new man inside of me and you. The old man's got sin, but some of these days, this old hell that you're looking at is going to be converted and be just as holy as what I am on the inside. Somebody say amen this morning. Thank be unto God. That's right. Now you're not going to there. You're not going to worship. They that worship around that throne has got to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Is that not right? And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Is that not right?
Yes, sir.
So if you can't see Him, without holiness, you certainly can't worship Him without being holy. But He does make us holy. No man has ever made himself. I can't seem to get away from that. No man's ever made himself holy. I'm amazed. I mean, I am truly amazed at how a holy God could look down upon a miserable wretch like me, all of my rags, and change my rags to riches. Amen. And make me holy and clean and white and pure and undefiled, just like He is. I marvel at that. I stand amazed at what God does for old sinners. All of us ought to be in hell this morning. But I'm glad He showed us mercy. Isn't that what the psalmist said a while ago? Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Have mercy upon me, not somebody else. Praise God. He's not. He didn't want God to show mercy on somebody else. As bad as He does Himself, He said, have mercy upon me, Lord, twice in that thing. Have mercy upon me, yes, sir. And so we're going to have to, those that worship Him, they're going to have to be holy as He is holy. There's no doubt about it. And I will say also that He that sits upon that throne is complete. Notice what it said in verse 5. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, the last time that I looked in my... And by the way, you can count those seven spirits of God in Isaiah 11 and verses 1 and 2. And I'm not going there. But it talks about the seven spirits of God there. And I'm not going there. But seven is a complete number. And our God is a complete God. I mean, that's an absolute fact. He is complete. That is, there's nothing lacking about Him. He needs nothing and needs nobody. He is complete within Himself. He is whole within Himself. And I'm glad He is. Because He that is whole can make you and I whole. He that is complete can make you and I complete. He that is self-sufficient is able to sustain you and I. Amen. He that has all power is able to make, by the same power, make us to become the sons of God. Bless His wonderful name. He is complete this morning. He lacks nothing. He's a perfect God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All powerful. He's all wise. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not talking about Allah. I'm not talking about the God that those foreigners worship. I'm not talking about the God those aliens worship. Somebody said, I thought aliens come from outer space. No, aliens come right off this planet. They're aliens to the Commonwealth of Israel. And you and I were aliens ourselves at one time. But now by the blood we have been brought nigh to Him. We're no longer aliens, but we are the household and the faith of Almighty God. His grace has made us that way. Aliens. Yeah. I'm not an alien. I don't put a turban on my head. That's right. And I don't bow down to Allah and I don't bow down to that crowd. I bow to Jesus. Jesus is my God. Now they can claim whoever they want. But I know who God really... Hey, nobody else ever got up out of the grave. Allah didn't get up out of the grave. Muhammad didn't get up out of the grave. The great prophet. But I'm going to tell you who did get up out of the grave. His name is not just Jesus. And His name is not just Jesus Christ. His name is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That Lord gives Him the power. Jesus was His earthly name. And Christ is His eternal name. He always has been and always shall be the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless His wonderful name. He is complete. I want to see His... Amen, Brother Ricky. Yes, sir. Amen, amen. That's right. I want to say also that He that sits on the throne is worthy of our praise. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 said, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks unto Him that sat on the throne, there's that word again, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth for how long? A couple of days? Forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy good pleasure they are and were created. And so, He is worthy of our praise. Amen. He is worthy of our glory and our honor. If you'll notice, they cast their crowns, and I'll get to that in just a minute. They cast their crowns at His feet. The 24 elders did. But it said there in verse number 9, it said, when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks. I'm just telling you that, hey, He is worthy of our thanksgiving. Oh, when was the last time you just broke out in a thankful spirit for what God has done for you? Oh, I marvel at what God has done for sinners. Depraved. You do understand depraved, don't you? And I do mean total depravity. That means you were dead in trespasses and sins. You could not lift yourself up by your bootstrap. There was not one thing. You were helpless. You were without God. You were without hope. You couldn't lift yourself up. But I'm telling you there, hey, He came to where you were that day. Broken in your heart. Sorrowful in your spirit. Guilty as all get out. Dead in trespasses and sin. And He lifted you out of the miry clay. Washed you in His own precious blood. And birthed you into the family of God. And gave you, made you an eternal, precious child of Almighty God. And for that we ought to be thankful. By the way, He could have passed by you that day.
That's right.
I don't want to get too personal, but hey, you know that as well as I do. There were people all around you that day or that morning, that night when you got in. You know there were.
Amen.
Wonder why God came to where you was. I don't know. I don't know why on that Sunday morning He came to where I was and passed over others. The only explanation I have is He searches the hearts. He tries to range. He knows what's in the heart of every man. He knew what was in their heart and He knew what was in my heart.
Right.
And I don't know why He did, but I sure am glad that He did.
Yeah.
I love that old song, He came to me.
Yes,
when I could not get to Him, thank God He came to me.
Yes,
His hand reached further down than I could ever reach up, thank God. Down into the depths of the miry clay, and He lifted me up. Hallelujah. And set my feet on a solid rock and established my going. Amen. That's right. Thank God. We ought to be thankful. We ought to honor Him. We ought to honor Him by casting our crowns before the throne, Revelation 4:10. We give, somebody said, why? What does that mean? We cast those crowns. That is, we give Him all that we have. Because He gave us, made us all that we are. So we give Him all that we have. We withhold absolutely nothing. They cast their crowns as glory at His feet. Remember the song, Crowns of Glory? They cast their crowns at Jesus' lovely feet. That's right. That is right. Now, He's glorious also because He was before all things. And He's before all things. And all that we have, we've given unto Him. He was before all things, and by Him are all things. Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for by Thy good pleasure they are and were created. Now, I've got a hold of something out of that just here this morning. They are. By Thy great power, they are and were created. Now, somebody, if you look at that, you just glance over it. I like this. You may not like it. If you just glance over that, you'd say, He created all things that are. And were created. He created. For His good pleasure, they are and were created. That word are means that they still is.
Yes, sir.
He created all things that are. You can't find one thing in this world that He has not created. I've heard people say, oh, we're going to create this and create that. You've never created. Creation is taking something out of nothing. I don't know anybody that can make something out of nothing but God. Brother, in the human realm, you have got to start with something to make something, but God doesn't need something to make everything. Amen. I like that. I don't know about you. But I like that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, His hope also. His hope. Not only His steadfast hope on the things enriched around that glorious throne, but His hope also is in the One who is rich in mercy. I don't know what Miss Hall taught in Sunday school, but she asked me several questions this morning, last night, about mercy. And I thought, I hope I don't interfere. I hope nobody realizes I stole her notes. But mercy, that Bible says in Habakkuk 3:1, in wrath, remember mercy. That is how merciful our God is. That even in wrath, He will remember mercy. Bless His holy name. Hallelujah to His holy name. And by the way, His mercy endureth for how long? A couple of days? Week? 2 months? A year? His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. The Bible said there in verse number 2 of our text. I'll turn back to there. If you want to turn there in verse number 2 of our text. He said, Behold the eyes of the servants look under the hand of their master, the eyes of the maiden under the hand of their mistress. So our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that He have mercy upon us. And I'm not going to preach on this, but it says, mentions the fact, eyes three times, have mercy three times. Three is the number of completion. Six is the number of man. He's got mercy on man. Now, if you can get a hold of that, I said that in a real quick hurry. But His hope is in One who is rich in mercy. He said in verse 2, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until He have mercy upon us. He needs mercy because of His guilt. So do you and I. I got news for you. It's not just the guilt of a lost sinner. It's guilty of the saints being guilty of sin as well. That's right. Saints can sin. Don't you ever think they can't?
You ain't arrived. You're not sprouting any pin feathers. Better believe that's right. We all, hey, we need His mercy because of our guilt. We need His mercy because we're oppressed with the burden of multiplied troubles. Anybody here this morning don't have any troubles? Don't tell me you don't. I know better. We all have troubles. Like David, trouble, trouble, and more trouble. Seems like in trouble, out of trouble, in trouble, out of trouble, in trouble, in trouble, in trouble, in trouble, in trouble, out of trouble, in trouble, in trouble. We're in trouble more than we are out of trouble. You know what my Christian life reminds me of? And I hate to say it. Reminds me when I was a teenage boy, I was always in trouble. I went to the army, I was always in trouble. That's why I didn't get very high in rank, and that's why I got a little high in rank and lost the rank. Amen. Because I was always in trouble. But I'm telling you, I've got no one that's got mercy today that, hey, will help me in the multiplied troubles that I have in this life and deliver me from those troubles because He is a merciful God. His mercy endureth forever. Amen. We need mercy because of our helplessness. I don't know anybody that can help themselves. Hosea 2:3, the Bible said, "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her who had not obtained mercy. And I will say unto them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God." Who do you reckon Hosea is talking about there? They're not my people, and I'll say they are my people. And I'm not their God, but they'll say, Thou art our God. Well, he's certainly not talking about the Jews. He's not talking about Israel. There's only one answer. He's got to be talking to us Gentiles, the Jews. The people that had not obtained mercy shall obtain mercy. That's us Gentiles. We better be glad that God set Israel aside that He might call out a Gentile bride for His son. God is showing mercy on Gentiles today. Hey, and He, we that had no God, I'm glad. Thank God we got a God now.
Amen.
We don't have to worship totem poles and that sort of thing.
That's right.
Stones. I mean, they've got an idolatrous shack down here on the south end of town. They sell all kinds of idols down there made out of concrete. Don't go by one of these days.
Yeah.
I'm not being unkind.
No.
But it's a fact.
Yeah.
We don't worship gods of stone and gods of gold and gods of silver and gods of cement. We worship the true God. The invisible God that must be seen with an eye of faith. That cannot be looked upon and gazed upon with the naked eye. And He will not be intruded upon by those that are dead in their sin. He's only approachable by those that have been reconciled unto Him. By the blood of His precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never been reconciled, forget coming to God. Because you must come to Him first in reconciliation.
Amen.
Making peace. And I'm glad Christ is our peace.
Amen.
He didn't only make peace for us, He is our peace.
Amen.
That's His wonderful name. I got to hurry. Also, His hope is persevering and triumphant. Notice in verse number 2 of our text in chapter number of Psalm 123, He said, "Behold, as the eyes of servants look upon the." I hope I'm in the right place. Yeah. So behold, as the eyes of servants look under the hand of their master, and the eyes of the maiden under the hand of her mistress. I could preach on those. So our eyes, get this, wait upon the Lord our God until that we have mercy, till He have mercy upon us. Wait. Let's stop. Sometimes it pays to stop and look at something. Do you realize what the psalmist said there? He didn't say, "My heart is waiting upon the Lord." He said, "My eyes are waiting upon the Lord. My eyes are waiting that I might see something." What is it that you're waiting to see this morning? Can I give you a proof text? Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall what, Brother Hall? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run and not grow weary, and they'll walk and not faint. But you know what? You know what he was waiting for, Isaiah was? He was waiting for a renewed spirit. Oh, and I'm telling you, how many in here this morning need a revived or a renewed spirit? Are you waiting to see that? Is your eyes this morning? Is your hope are set upon the Lord, and your eyes wait upon the Lord for that renewed spirit? Are you waiting to see something happen in your life? God help us. So many Baptists today are absolutely looking nor expecting God to do anything. And I've got news for you. As long as you expect Him to do nothing, He'll do nothing.
Right.
Are you waiting? The psalmist said, I'm waiting to see something. I'm hoping. I'm hoping to see something. Are you hoping to see something? Oh, I don't know about you, but I am. Man, I'd like to get my bucket so full, honey. Amen. I'd like to get under the spout where the goody runs out, don't you? I'd like to get my cup so full that it run over into my saucer a little bit. In fact, I'd like getting more than a cup full. Hey, God, I'd like to get a barrel full. One night I was in Vietnam, called in a artillery adjustment that night. We had some Victor Charlies out around us, and they were taking pop shots. And our company commander wanted some artillery, so I called it in. It was hot. We just set up in that LZ, and it was rough. It was hard to dig. You just dug a place long enough to lay in and deep enough to just cover yourself. And that artillery, that got pretty close. We hadn't had any supplies in, none. And I laid there in that little hole after we'd called in that artillery fire and silenced those Charlies out there. I laid there and I got so thirsty. I said, Lord, fire. I was like that man in hell. I said, I'd just like to have a drop of water. And I'm telling you, the longer I laid there thirstier, I got no. I didn't want a drop of water. I wanted a cup of water. Then I wanted a glass of water. Then I wanted a barrel of water. Then I wanted a well. And I said, Lord, I got to have some water. Give me Niagara Falls. I mean, give me something. I want water. I mean, I'm getting thirsty. Now, I'm going to tell you, I laid there the biggest part of the night. What? Hoping to see something the next morning. You know what? I heard it before I seen it, but I did see it. I saw that helicopter come in with that blister bag underneath of it. It had potable water written on it. That meant I want a drink. Amen. I said, and I was a lost man. I said, thank you, Lord, for the water. He didn't just give me a drop. He didn't give me a glass full. He gave us a lister bag full. I mean, 500 gallons of water.
Amen.
Thank God. I'm going to tell you, hey, if we're hoping to see something from the Lord, expect to see God will do it. Are you expecting to see God renew a spirit, a right spirit in you as He did in David?
Yes, sir.
Then I want to hurry. Not only seeing that right spirit, a renewed spirit, but also waiting to see something great, waiting to see some great event. Are you waiting to see some great event? I am. I've got one to tell you about here in just a second. If I can get to it, find the right verse, I hope I can. Revelation 21:2, old John said, I, John. What'd you see, John? Where you at, John? Where's old John at? Said, now John saw what? The holy city. Are you hoping to see it? Hope lies, ladies and gentlemen, beyond the realm of what we just see with our naked eye. But it goes into the spiritual world and reaches out and takes hold of that which we see not. I have never seen the New Jerusalem. John has. John saw Jasper Walls.
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Amen. He saw that new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. I've never seen that, but I'm telling you, I've got a hope that someday I'll see that great event when that city comes down.
Yes.
It is coming down. That great city, the new Jerusalem, is coming down out of heaven. Are you hoping to see some great event? I believe that's what he's talking about there. His eyes was waiting upon the Lord as if they were expecting to see something. See a renewed spirit. To see a great event. That new Jerusalem coming down. Then can I say this? That I believe those eyes, our eyes should be hoping. I don't want to see that a renewed spirit, some great event. But we ought to be longing to see some great person. I'm going to tell you, if I had my camera out here, I'd show you my picture with Rand Paul. Yeah, I'm proud of that picture. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got one I'm going to see one of these days that's much greater than he is. By the way, I'm hoping to see him. Somebody said, now, brother, all hoping means it may not possibly, may not happen. You're stupid. Hope is not something that you, that just might transpire. Hope will take place. Persevering hope will always come out triumphant. And I'm going to tell you, we hope to see him. The Bible said in John, in Revelation 19:11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. Here it is. And he that sat upon. He that set upon him was called faithful and true and righteousness. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. And I could go on and read on that. John said, I saw. His eyes saw it. Saw him. Are you hoping to see him? That is our blessed hope. The glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our blessed hope today. Now, I'm telling you, I've got a blessed hope of seeing a person. And that person will be coming in power and great glory.
Amen.
He's not coming to be crucified.
Yes, sir.
He's not coming to die. He's coming on a white horse.
That's
right. Somebody said, Brother Hall, do you think there'll be animals in heaven? I do not know what all be in heaven, but I know there's some white horses up there.
Yes, sir.
He's going to be riding on one. And the armies of heaven will be riding on white horses behind him. Somebody said, why are we going to be behind him? The same reason we're behind him now. He's going to fight battles for us. Amen right there. I don't want to get out ahead of him. I want to stay behind him. He's my shield. Amen. He'll protect us. We stay behind him. I'm going to tell you, when he comes on that white horse, that sharp two-edged sword is going to come out of his mouth. You have written on his vesture, on his thigh, Lord of Lords and King of Kings.
Glory to his name.
Yes, sir. Glory in his wonderful name. He's triumphant.
Yes, sir.
And because he is triumphant, you and I are going to triumph also.
Yes.
We are victorious. You hear what I'm telling you? Bless God, we're not defeated today.
That's right.
We're on the winning side. Hallelujah. The battle's already won. The war's already won.
Amen.
Thank God. Yeah. That's right.
We're already in, Brother Troy. We're not waiting to get there.
Amen.
We're already seated together in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
Bless his wonderful name. Hallelujah. By the way, I titled the message, and I never did tell you, what are you hoping to see? Hey, some things I'm hoping to see, folks. Some things I'm hoping to see. By the good grace of God, I'm going to see them. How do you know you will? The book! The holy book! I know this one ain't black bagged. That's an inside joke. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I was in a meeting one time. I was the only man in there that had a red Bible. The fellow got up to preach and said, I'll tell you, I'm glad I carry an old-fashioned King James 1611 Bible. He said, I ain't talking about them red Bibles either. I'm talking about the actual Word of God, this black back book, boys. All right. I didn't know the cover was inspired. I wouldn't care if it's pink, as long as it's King James on the inside. Amen. It can be green, white, black, purple, red, yellow. I don't care what the outside cover is. What matters is on the inside. It's kind of like a child of God. It don't matter what we much really look like to other folks on the outside. It's what's on the inside. Thank God for what's on the inside. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. I'm hoping to see a great event. And I'm hoping to see a great person. Not an angel. I'm not looking for Elijah to come back. I'm not looking for the two prophets in Revelation, although they're coming. Now, I believe they're Moses and Elijah. You can believe whatever you want to believe. They're coming. I'm not looking for them, though. As a matter of fact, I won't see them unless God lets us look on from heaven. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to go. You can be a mid-tribber and a post-tribber if you want to. But I'm a pre-tribber. Amen. I'm going to heaven before the tribulation period. We are not appointed to wrath as others. We're not going through the tribulation. You read your Bible, and by the way, there's not a general resurrection and a general judgment. We're going to be raised 1,007 years before the dead are raised.
Amen.
Read the book of Revelation and you will find out.
Yes,
sir. 1,007 years. We're going to be enjoying the glory of God before the dead are raised and judged at the white throne.
That's right.
We're going to see it too, by the way.
Yes,
I'm not glorying in that. I'm saddened. Because the multitudes are going to be great. Multitude after multitude of people standing before the judgment bar of God. And there's no hope. Can I say to you, mercy has run out. Grace is no longer. Their hope amounts to absolutely nothing. Because they stand before that judgment bar dead yet in their trespasses and sins. And it's not if they're going to hell, they're going to hell. And I'm not happy in saying that. It's a fact. What are you hoping to see today? The psalmist three or four times talked about his eyes, at least three times. His eyes saw something, some things. That glorious throne. Him that sat upon it is soon going to get up and come back after you and I. Let's stand together.